WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hand.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come. And this is going to be simply glorious!
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us. Also, a huge shout out to the folks over at FightBooth.com. Thank you so much for sponsoring us and supporting us. We greatly appreciate it. Everybody go check out FightBooth.com for all your news needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can follow along on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Linz Ward. We're here to talk all things WrestleMania.
Yeah, this is a loaded show, y'all. So we are going to do our best to get through it as quickly as possible because I got to go to work tomorrow. I know everybody else has to go to work tomorrow. If you want to hear our review of NXT TakeOver from Saturday night, it is available for your listening pleasure over at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com, as well as on the YouTubes. Just look for rackradioshow.com or rackradioshow.
Yeah, well, it's not on the YouTubes, but yeah.
Why is it not on the YouTubes? It should be on the YouTubes.
Why should it be? Not going to have this argument on the air. Anyway, not going to be a thing.
It's not on YouTube's Never Nine, but we have other fine content on the YouTube, so go check it out.
And we'll have an announcement later about other things coming to the YouTube's. Anyway, when we plug stuff. Yes, we're going to get into all the fun things about WrestleMania. The show's so big, there's no tweet of the week tonight. I know. Tear. Shed.
It's probably best that we don't do tweet of the week tonight. Just a thought. But yeah, so because it's pretty much a little bit of news because there is some news this week and, well, Mania, because Mania, the 7-hour extravaganza that was WrestleMania, actually almost 7.5, it nearly went 8 hours with the pre-show. I mean, it was a bit long. So we are dedicating pretty much the entire show to WrestleMania. So we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to jump right into news brought to our friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBooth.com. And, well, we have to talk about the biggest story of the week that is not Mania related, and that would be that yesterday, Simon Gotch was released from WWE.
Oh no! What are they gonna do with this tag team division now that Simon Gotch is gone? Oh no!
I think they'll figure it out. They may have to do some DIY, but they'll figure it out.
But what is going to happen to Aiden English? Oh no!
They'll figure it out.
Okay. Now to be serious, he's gonna sing again. Probably.
Probably.
The deal was we're looking to break them up at some point, and he was going to be venturing out on his own. And ever since Sin Cara and Simon Gotch got into a fight, Simon Gotch's career has well sort of been
non-existent.
He's usually the first person limited in a battle royal in like 5 seconds. So at least he made about 30 seconds on Sunday. So there is that. So yes, it's a shame the Vaudevillains had their peak about a year ago. And sort of been slowly fading away since. I'm not going to miss it. It's sort of a thing.
Well, it was kind of one of those things in NXT where we knew it had a shelf life. When they brought it up to the main roster, it didn't work right on the main roster because they didn't know how to shoot it in terms of just the entrance alone. Like, they could never figure out how to shoot the entrance, so eventually they just cut it because it's like, this is just too much. Let's just kill it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like, in terms of the gimmick, it did have a shelf life. It wasn't meant to last for, I think, as long as it did. It was like, you know, they had English and Gotch, and it's okay, well, let's put these two guys together and see what happens.
What happened was they accomplished their biggest goal in NXT when it should have been not on the main roster.
Yeah, just a bit.
So it's like they reached the peak of whatever the gimmick was down in NXT, and there was no room to grow on the main roster because you've already established who they are and what they're all about, and they hit their peak by winning the belts.
Yep. So, sad to see him go. He is currently taking bookings. You can go to his Twitter. There's an email address on there that you can contact him for bookings, interviews, anything. He said he's booking interviews now to address the rumors, because there are a lot of rumors circulating that we're not going to get into. And he said he's going to clear the air at some point.
Oh, that rumor. That was a rumor.
That wasn't... If you haven't seen it, just Google it. It's a pretty incredible rumor. Like, it really kind of is. It was impressive.
I think he wrote pretty good fan fiction right there.
He did. Yeah, he did. It was riveting. I read it at work today. I was like, oh, that's good.
Someone had the time and effort, and even our very own Canadian was thinking it could have possibly true. He even put in some feelers for, you know, his sources to find out if it was true or not.
Yeah, Gotch pretty much said not true.
Yeah, so I went to Twitter and went, hey, Simon Gotch said this. So that confirmed it right there. So anyway, Simon Gotch is gone. Aiden English, single star, coming soon.
Yay! Please feed him, because dude needs a sandwich in like the worst way.
He really does.
Like, I worry about him. I worry about him and I worry about Ambrose.
They all need
Ambrose is so tiny.
They all need a sandwich.
It's like, feed these boys. What is wrong with them? Anyway, staying on the terms of departures, it was announced that Aaron Rex, a.k.a. Damian Sandow, is now officially gone from TNA. Looks like he's done with wrestling, at least for the next little while, as he's going to pursue his career in acting.
No real surprise.
No real surprise there. So, bye-bye to Aaron Rex from TNA. WWE announced that it will be having its UK show for the UK title coming this summer to the WWE Network. They featured who was going to be on the show, including Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and Wolfgang on 205 Live this past week.
Cool. It's going to be cool. If it's a hit, we may cover it.
Yeah. Basically, I have to figure out who everybody is first.
If it's a hit, we may cover it a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We may not. Just kind of depends.
If you guys want it, let us know. You can tweet us, and maybe we'll do it. Who knows?
We'll have to see.
If there's a demand.
Yeah, if you guys make a demand, we will cover it. We will absolutely cover it. And we'll also cover the 32 Women's Tournament that WWE has announced for the summer as well, if you guys would like. But you got to let us know if you want us to cover it.
So that's pretty cool. So they were at the investor thing, the business summit, during WrestleMania week, and they had Bayley announce it. They had Bayley, Alexa, and Asuka there. Three women's champions on the brand, or in the company of the brands, respective brands, and they came out and Bayley made the announcement, 32 Women's Tournament, because we've heard the speculation for a while of what it would be and when it was coming, so it's like, cool, it's finally announced, 32 Women's Tournament, featured sometime this summer on the WWE Network. I think they're filming maybe in June. I know the UK show is filming in May, so Yeah.
Should be fun. I'm really curious to see who they bring in for the women's tournament.
Yeah. To answer Ashley on the Twitter, it dropped earlier today. The Rack Extra Total Divas was dropped earlier this afternoon at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. We covered season 6, episode 11. It's available now for everyone to listen to. It's already been dropped. So if it hasn't hit iTunes yet, it will hit iTunes soon. This is why you should, all everyone should subscribe to the iTunes. Just search Rack Radio Show. It's always there. You can get it on Stitcher as well, Rack Radio Show. Get all the shows. So, there you go. It's available right now on the websites for your listening pleasures.
Ding!
But thank you for inquiring, Ashley. Appreciate
it. Yes, thank you for inquiring. And don't tune out, because we are going to be talking about the engagement tonight.
We are. We got that circled and bolded and stuff.
Underlined and everything, yeah. So don't tune out, because if you want us to talk about that, we will be discussing that.
In detail.
Because I found pictures of the ring today.
She did.
I did. And, well, I guess we could say the ring was a perfect 10, because I have no other segue from that.
Wheelie.
Because awkward segues are awkward. We've had some departures, but we had some arrivals, too. The Revival turned up on Monday Night Raw, and, well, Ty Dillinger was one of two debuts on SmackDown. So the perfect 10 has arrived to SmackDown.
We'll see how long it lasts. I like Ty, but don't, please, anyone who's expecting him to go to the moon and back, please don't have those expectations. If he's a solid worker on the brand, then that's what you get. Don't put any high expectations on it. I want people to know this now. He's going to be a mid-carder. He's a very good mid-carder, but he's a mid-carder. And enough with the 10 count chance.
Oh, dude, that's never going away. That is never going away. Not that he's there now, so not going away. It's going to be a thing forever. We'll talk about the second debut.
Anyway, just leave it. We'll talk about the second debut later in the show.
Yeah.
If you want to do the 10 chance, do it for his matches.
They're going to do it for everybody. You have to deal with it.
I'm pleading with everyone. Just stick to Ty's matches with the 10 stuff, please.
No, they're not.
Please.
Nope.
I'm begging you. Please.
Nope.
Okay, whatever. Move on.
Moving on, last but not least.
10. Is that annoying when you say 10?
Are you done? Okay.
10. Say, please, just leave it the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger's matches. Thank you. Point proven.
It's annoying when you do it, because I'm trying to talk.
And I'm trying to listen to someone count. Anyway, move on, please.
It was announced NXT TakeOver will be emanating from Chicago. And it's going to be taking place on May 20th, so...
Not May 19th?
Not May 19th. It's on May 20th. May 19th is on a Friday this year. So, they're doing it on May 20th, which is kind of interesting that it is not coinciding with any sort of major event for WWE.
That's where you're wrong.
What's on the 21st?
A SmackDown-only pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, because that's such a major event.
Still a pay-per-view weekend.
It's a pay-per-view weekend, but normally they've been lining him up with the big four.
Right, but they do more than four. We discussed this on the Rack Extra. We said on the Rack Extra we thought it would be like in June, so end of May, same thing.
So, should be a lot of fun.
Now, I know on your sheet you only have those stories. We have one more story.
Oh god, we have one more? What else?
Remember I told you about this earlier, so it's time to hit the sounder.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Because he just couldn't help himself, DJ Z.
Hashtag blame Brent.
The horn lives!
Well, it was his thing. Internal injury, suffered internal injuries, including a ruptured colon. He needed surgery to repair it, and he'll be hopefully better in a few weeks. It's a very scary thing. You can go check out his Twitter. He posted a whole long story what happened. Took a 450 the wrong way, and things did not go as planned. So hopefully he gets better here in the near future.
Yes. So feel better, Sanjay Dutt, please. And yeah, go check out his Twitter.
Wait, Sanjay, what?
I'm sorry, DJZ. DJZ, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I don't know where I even got Sanjay Dutt from.
I don't even know.
That's how my brain works. Anyway, we need to go to break if I'm mixing up wrestlers. So, we're going to take our first break of the evening, because apparently I just majorly screwed that up. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about the 7-hour extravaganza.
No, not 7-hour. 10.
multi-hour extravaganza was WrestleMania. So listen to the record and I'll check for it. I'll be right back.
What is the greatest Sega video game of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Boom shakalaka! He's on fire!
It is the Greater Than Great Debate heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on CB Radio only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sega! Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in... I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pete Gass of the Mean Street Posse and author of my new book, Looking at the Light, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Give me the green light, because I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, if you're listening to us over at Gerwig.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us. And also, a huge shout out to the folks over at FightBooth.net. Go there for all your news needs, and Gerwig.net too, because they're awesome.
FightBooth.com.
FightBooth.com, I'm sorry. The music! I'm not having a good night. I am distracted. I need to not be distracted. I'm really not having a good night, y'all. The host is screwing up the show. Everybody take a shot. So anyway, that song means one thing, and I will be so happy to never hear this song again after this week, or at least after this month, once they stop replaying Mania footage, because now we are going to be talking the multi-hour extravaganza that was WrestleMania. This was a long, long show.
Now, to be fair, it didn't feel that very long until about 10:45.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because this is the first year that I've actually watched at the start of the pre-show all the way through to the end. Because I just happened to be around when the pre-show started, so I turned it on and was like had it on in the background and was watching the pre-show. But yeah, I mean, this show, oh my god, this show was long.
Can we talk about the pre-show?
Yes, let's talk about the pre-show.
And how they only gave Shawn Michaels one line to say every time.
And he said it so well.
Like, he made it a point where there's like, they only give me one line. Let's go to WWENetwork.com.
Bravo, Shawn. Bravo. Oscar worthy. You did so well.
Hey, it's cool to see Lita back.
It was cool to see Lita back. They had her on the pre-show for a little bit. I think Lawler has a cold or he's got allergies or something because his voice was off.
Probably partied too hard on Friday night.
He may have partied too hard on Friday
night. Well,
actually,
he doesn't drink, so maybe it wasn't that. I don't know.
He does other things that could be indicative of partying too hard.
Yes, Ashley, to respond to Ashley on Twitter. The stage.
Oh my god, the stage. The set.
The ramp. The 85-yard ramp.
The whole thing. That is one of the best Mania sets I think I've ever seen. It's like right up there with the one that they did at 29. Just in terms of scale, the LEDs, and it got better looking as it got darker, obviously. But what was cool was they didn't rely on the video packages. They relied on the LEDs. So it's like the more colorful the entrance, the more pretty it was. Like Jericho's entrance was absolutely stunning. Bailey's entrance was beautiful. I mean, it's just, they really did a good job with the set where it was a star of the show on its own, but it didn't detract from the show.
Visually, the show was amazing. From the ring on top of the ring to, like, during some of the entrances, there was stuff that was beamed down onto the ring.
Yeah, that was projecting down onto the ring, which was really, really, really cool. And you didn't really see it, unfortunately, until you got to the Rollins match, because they were actually showing the ring, and you could see it. So I don't know if they only did it for the back half of the show, or if they were doing it the entire time, and you just didn't see it.
But the projections look really, really sweet. And we'll get to them a little bit deeper as we go about match by match. And one more visual thing was the opening video package they did.
Oh, that was so nice.
The opening video package was tremendous.
Just the 3D, the animation, all of that. Whoever did that, and I think it was probably a team of people that worked on that, give those people a raise. Because the opening package was sick. Absolutely sick.
Yeah, it was.
It was basically, they did like a 4D roller coaster, which was really cool. So yeah, so the stage, the promo, and all the promo cap packages were on point. Like all the video packages, everything was just crisp and well done and polished. And this was one, in terms of just production and set design, this was one of the better Manias.
And big props to WWE for now filming in 4K.
Yes, thank you.
They're filming some YouTube stuff now in 4K. It's like, thank you, appreciate it. My 4K TV loves you now.
It's so funny because right now my 4K TV, it's like Taker's entrance looks so weird on my TV. Because it can't pick up, it's like there's not enough color in the image for it to pick up on everything. So it's just this giant purple blob.
So it's like, things are going to get really, really spectacular here next year or so.
Yay!
I can't wait.
Yeah, so continuing on the trend of the pre-show, we have to talk about the first match of the night, which was the Cruiserweight Championship. The king of the Cruiserweights, Neville, takes on Austin Aries. And I have to say, it was actually kind of interesting that all the fans, or a lot of the fans, were in the stadium when this started. Like, people got in there really, really quickly. So I don't know if this is a better design where people can get to their seats faster, or if everybody was more, because of the pre-show, everybody was eager to get to their seats.
I think they didn't have, like, there was one year they had trouble getting people into the stadium. I remember that. This year they had no issue. Everyone was getting in, and they got to their seats on time. I would say about 60-70% of the crowd was in there by the start of this match.
Yeah. So they had a really, really good crowd.
And they had a really good matchup between the two. I really like Neville's deadlift German.
Yes.
It is very spectacular. They had some great spots. Super Hurt Carana was a great spot. The going into the Last Chancer was great. And Neville ripping out the bad eye of Aries was a nice touch. Aries hit the red arrow, or Neville hit the red arrow on Aries, rather, and retained the Cruiserweight Championship. Good match.
Very, very good match. Very entertaining match.
What's next?
Up next, we have the Battle Royal.
Big Show gone early by Braun. Everyone else then got rid of Braun. Sammy was impressive. We had Old School Goldust. What in the Blue Ranger was Sin Cara wearing?
It took me 10 minutes to figure out that was Sin Cara. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, it's like, oh, who's this blue blood? Oh, it's Sin Cara. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's Sin Cara.
Last year he was all white. This year he's all blue.
No, Hawkins was in all white this year.
No, Sin Cara last year was all white.
Yeah, but Hawkins this year was in all white.
I know. I understand that.
So we had a white ranger and we had a blue ranger.
Next year we'll get a purple ranger.
Actually, technically we had two white rangers, but we'll get to that.
Anyway, in case you were wondering, Ziggler has spent more time on the outside of the ring than inside. Said multiple times by multiple people during this match.
Yeah. And it took them a while to thin this out, but once they thinned this out, it got to be pretty decent.
I really liked Old School Goldust. That was a nice touch. Gronkowski got involved when Ginger got in his face. A security guard got involved who didn't know what the plan was. So she forced him back until someone went, he's part of the act. Just let him be.
But props to her for doing her job and making him get back over the wall.
Which, here's a nice tie-in. So, the same security guard was involved on NXT tapings the night prior, and they aired it on Wednesday with, what did they call the drifter?
El Vagabondo.
Yeah, him. And the female security guard was pulling him away from the ring. It was fantastic. And props to him for going under the mask that one time.
Yes.
It was very, very fun. Go ahead.
Just to talk about the security guard, you know, Gronk is big, right? He's a big old football player. This chick is like, you know, he's probably got 100 pounds on her easy and what, 5 inches?
Something like that, yeah.
And she made him get back over the wall. So it's like, go lady! I don't know your name, but go lady! Girl power!
So, water was thrown in his face. Gronk then got in the ring. He shoulder blocked Jinder. The final three were Killian Dain, Mojo Rawley, and Jinder Mahal. And wouldn't you know it, Mojo Rawley wins.
Yay! And he Gronk's right in the ring.
There's your Sports Center moment, everybody. Enjoy it. Enjoy your Sports Center moment. So, at this point, should say that, trying to look for it. We unfortunately did not get the Battle Royal correctly.
No.
Though the 8-Ball and the video game did. But we got Neville right. All four of us got Neville right.
Hey!
That's a start. Alright, what's next?
Up next, we have, for the IC title, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin in a straight-up match. This was...
not very good.
This was not very good. The match on SmackDown was a lot better because they had the hardcore step, so they could do more with it. And I think these two just need a little bit of the smoke and mirrors to get violent, because they were really, I think, hindered by the fact that they did not have a stipulation on this match. And I'm surprised they didn't put one on here, short of for timing issues.
But you had other matches, like Hunter's, who had the stip.
Yeah, so it's like you can't have Dean and Corbin outdoing Hunter on the pre-show. So, yeah, Ambrose retained over Corbin in this match, which was a surprise because I think a lot of people were expecting Corbin to win just to give him that WrestleMania moment. But the feud is continuing past WrestleMania, so Corbin may get it at the next SmackDown pay-per-view. We'll just have to see.
Me, you, and Abel picked Corbin while the video game had Ambrose on that one. Yeah, the match on SmackDown was a lot better. If we saw that on the show, would have improved it. But they just sort of felt very out of sorts in this matchup, and a lot of people were complaining that the Intercontinental title was defended on the pre-show. Newsflash, titles usually get defended on the pre-show. There's history behind it.
It's not even that. It's a show full of title matches. Something has to go on the pre-show. The SmackDown Women's title was originally, and had it stayed on the pre-show, it probably would have gotten more time than it did. We'll get to that match later. But as it stands, the IC title ended up going on the pre-show because what happened in the non-title matches really didn't need to go on the pre-show. It's like, do you really expect, you know, what happened between Nikki and Cena to be on the pre-show, or Taker's match to be on the pre-show?
Or any of the other matches we're going to talk about be on the pre-show? Hell no.
I mean, it sucks, but something has to go on the pre-show. And honestly, to be on the pre-show or to be on the opening of the show, I think is a lot better than to be later in the show, because you get the crowd when they're fresh.
762,000 people sold on the USA Network. That doesn't include the people who sold for free on the YouTubes, or on Facebook, or on WWE.com, or the million plus people who watched the WrestleMania on the WWE Network. So, if you add it all up, that was probably seen by a lot more people.
So,
just throwing that out there.
Yeah. So, anyway, we digress. Moving on to the main show. Your opening for WrestleMania was AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon in a really, really good match.
Before we get there, Final Fantasy New Day?
I have no idea what was going on with that. I'm not a Final Fantasy fan. All I know is they came out, and it's like, what are they wearing?
And Big E won his lever pulled.
We see what you're doing, Big E. Please continue.
We get you. Anyway, AJ and Shane McMahon, this was awesome. I liked the AJ shuffle.
Yes.
I thought that was awesome. And you could tell these guys were not holding back. They were stiff. Those shots hit. You could saw the black eyes on both guys' part in the next couple of days. There was one spot that AJ did a baseball slide, and Shane goes flying over the announce table.
Yeah.
We got some good submission wrestling. We had the calf crusher. We had a rear naked choke. We had an arm bar. And then AJ went for like a springboard 450. He got caught in a triangle choke. And then AJ turned the triangle into a Styles Clash.
And tried to kill Shane.
And then, as predicted, right here by me on the show, we had a ref bump. Because ref bumps. And props to Mike Chioda. Big props to Mike Chioda.
Yeah, he sold that.
He sold it. This is why you have a veteran ref. He just sat there and laid there and stood there, you know, not watching what's happening, because AJ gets the trash can. He goes for Shane's coast-to-coast. The coast-to-coast gets missed because Shane McMahon got up and knocked him with the trash can, and then Shane does his own version. And then, you know, Shane went, hey, there's a table. Let me put him on it. Flying elbow. Missed. He went splat. We had the flying forearm into a was countered into a DDT. Then Shane was like, all right, I did a coast-to-coast. I did an elbow. What else can I do to kill myself? Oh, I know. A shooting star press.
Yeah. Yeah. We were like, Shane, no.
Hey, it was better than Brock's.
It was better than Brock's. He did hit the mark.
But it probably hurt like hell.
Everything in that match probably hurt like hell. Like, there were several points where Shane's sitting there and they're doing the close-up shots, and he's, like, red in the face, he's blown up, he's breathing heavy because he's tired, and he's just questioning all his life choices up till that point. Like, why did I agree to do this? Why? Oh, right. I know why. And he gets up. So.
Phenomenal forearm. AJ Styles wins. Really good match. Great opener to the main show.
Great, great match. I think a lot of people were dreading this match, and they knew that, so they went out there and tried to have the best match possible.
We told you it was going to be good.
And Shane proved he can hang with AJ.
We told you. Just saying. We spoke to Pete Gass. He told you. We told you here on the show. We told you. Just saying.
We know.
We know a little bit what we're talking about.
So moving on from that, we have Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens in the battle for the U.S. title, continuing the trend of good matches. This is great.
Let's talk about Jericho first. He had the countdown clock back, he had a giant list, and he had a light-up scarf.
I liked the light-up scarf.
It was a nice... He blended his entire WWE run up in this with the countdown, the light-up scarf, the scarf, and the list. He blended it all together. It was really nice. This was a good match. Start slow, built to a hot finish. The apron powerbomb allowed Kevin Owens to become the new United States champion. I enjoyed this match. It was not the best match on the show, but it was a very good, solid match on the program.
I would agree with that. I mean, it was a nice finale to Jericho and Kevin's story. Because they did a lot of really hard work to get it to this point, and it was just the perfect little finisher. I think they're going to have one more encounter, maybe, and that's about it. Because Jericho does get a rematch, so...
And that match will be at Payback.
Yep.
let's see. In this whole scenario, I had AJ, you had AJ, Shane was with the 8-Ball, and AJ Styles for the video game. Kevin Owens for me, Jericho for you, Owens and for the 8-Ball in the video game. Does that work? Clear.
Up next, we have the Raw Women's Championship. Bayley versus Sasha versus Charlotte versus Nia Jax. We need to talk entrances in this match.
Okay, Bayley, very colorful. She had cape. She had fireworks that she had no idea about. Her entrance was very colorful, including her gear. Her wacky inflatable tube men almost all popped up, but not all of them, so it kind of took away from part of the entrance. Like, one side did not pop, but that's okay.
I wanted them all coming down the 85-yard ramp.
I don't think they could afford that many.
For what they spent on that show, probably not. But I still want it.
Maybe one day. Maybe a shorter ramp.
So yeah, just as a side note before we really get into this, next year, shorter ramp. Please, shorter ramp.
Well, they're going to be inside, so yeah, this could be a shorter ramp.
Thank God.
Because we know what the size of the ramp is on that one, because it's in New Orleans.
Well, okay, to be fair, we knew what it was when the last time they were at the Orange Bowl, or the Citrus Bowl, and they just upped the ante completely this year by taking it up onto the concourse.
Okay, fair point still. Anyway. And covered everything with Bayley?
Covered everything with Bayley.
Sasha Banks came out second. Smartest woman alive.
Yep.
She had a car.
She was riding down on this little golf car thing in her sparkly, shiny jacket that her husband is just like an artist.
Her husband got lucky very many times for making her that jacket.
Yeah, it was covered in rhinestones. It was absolutely breathtaking. It looked brilliant under the lights. She just sparkled and shined and was just tremendous. And yeah, if you go look for pictures of Sasha Banks at WrestleMania and you'll see that jacket, because that thing was nice, especially in the back.
The jack was nice. The gear was great. Well done.
Very well done.
Then you had Nia, who just walked to the ring.
But she was working that ramp, man. She's walking down like, I got this. This is mine. Y'all aren't taking it from me. She was confident. She got new gear, too. She looked good.
And then the Diamond Queen herself, Charlotte. Full on peacock. Full on diamonds in the entrance. Fireworks. Everything. Her entrance was spectacular.
I loved her gear. I loved her coat. I loved all of it. It was just stunning. It was just like, yeah.
And then this matchup started out as Nia versus the world.
Basically, yeah, we're all three of them teamed up against Nia Jax to get Nia Jax out of the match. Because they're like, yeah, we're not going to be able to do anything with her here. Because she's just going to sit on us.
And then Nia just killed them all for a while. Yep. Charlotte did the flare flip over the turnbuckle, then got tossed by Nia when she did a flip onto Bayley and Sasha on the outside, which was a nice spot. We had the horseman shield bomb on Nia to get rid of her. I don't know how else you would call it. It was a triple power bomb that took out Nia Jax. She was the first one gone in this matchup. And then Charlotte went, little cray cray. I know I just said cray cray and I hate myself for saying cray cray. So I'm not going to say cray cray anymore. She went crazy. She did a corkscrew moonsault to the outside.
And it was pretty as hell. Yep. Absolutely beautiful.
It was. Then Sasha hit her with a boob-popping chop later on. It's like, you smacked her good.
Yeah, that hurt. Like, you cringe when you hear it. You're like, ow.
So there was a point where Charlotte ripped open the middle turnbuckle, or kind of exposed it a little bit. It played into Sasha's elimination. We had the bank stay, but Charlotte got out of it. Sent her head first into the semi-exposed turnbuckle and pinned her for the 1-2-3, leaving Bayley and Charlotte as the final two.
And Bayley did not look happy. She's like, crap, Sasha's gone. On, and I have to face Charlotte all on my own. And Bayley just went for it. She attacked Charlotte, throwing punches. Charlotte fought back.
We had the figure four, but Bayley fought to the ropes. There was a spot where there was like a backdrop off the top rope. Bayley tied herself in the ropes and eventually sits up and does the Bayley elbow for the win. I think it was like Charlotte hit the middle turnbuckle, the same middle turnbuckle, sort of knocked her out. And the Bayley was able to hit the elbow. This match could have used like 5-10 more minutes.
It could, but they had already started shortening matches at this point because they realized how long it was taking people to get down the ramp. Like, that's the one complaint about the show is I don't think they timed exactly out the ramp and how long it was going to take everybody. Or people were taking longer than they should have, so they were cutting time off matches, it felt like, pretty early in this show.
A little bit, yeah. Especially this one, it felt like it.
Yeah, it's like this one just needed a little bit more time.
Then we had the Hall of Famers announced.
So they did them early.
Well, they usually just find a break for them. So, like, it depends. Every year is different.
Every year is different, but generally it's like they go later in the show because they're that buffer between the main event and the other matches on the card.
But this also allowed them to set up for the ladder match. So
yeah.
That's sort of what it was. We need to talk about the Hall of Fame a little bit, give our thoughts really quick. DDP was the most inspirational.
Phoenix had best speech.
Beth Phoenix was emotional and had the very best speech of the night.
And had the best rip of the night.
So explain the rip to everyone.
So Beth's up on the stage. She's thanking her family. She's thanking her husband. For those of you that don't know, she's married to Edge. And if you hear this, well, hold on a second. And all of a sudden, Tony Chimmel walks out and he's like, I think I could do a little bit better than that. And then Tony Chimmel announces Edge and they play his music. As Edge is like sitting in the audience laughing hysterically. The entire time. Because he didn't know.
He did not know what was coming at him. It was just, I mean, it was spectacular. The rib she pulled on him. I mean, she told some great stories. How Molly Holly put her through, through her training. She was the one who paid for her training. I mean, you heard some really great stories out of Beth Phoenix. It was awesome. That's the best way to put it. And the rib, oh my god, the Tony Chimmel rib on her. Yeah, that was, I don't know what else to say, but that was just, very, very spectacular. I guess
that's the
best way to put it, but here, just listen to this.
Better as the rated.
Hold on, Beth. Hold on. Maybe I can help you out here a little bit.
How convenient. Tony Chimmel.
I think we all know him as the 11-time WWE champion and a WWE Hall of Famer. The Rated R Superstar
And he's laughing hysterically the entire time.
He face palms and then laughs.
It's like Edge, we get it one more time. We get it one more time.
Edge's career will now just be remembered for Tony Chimmel's entrance.
Hey, it's not a bad thing.
The other speeches, Teddy Long ribbing, or roasting, rather, by the APA.
That was fantastic.
Cheapest man alive.
Cheapest man alive. Them just giving him crap was just fantastic. And overall, I would say that the Hall of Fame in general this year was better than it has been in the past few years just for the speeches. Because the speeches, they got all the people that went long on first. Like, DDP opened. Because we all know DDP, he can talk. But was so on point with his impressions.
And then Kurt Angle, the best musical performance goes to Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle poked fun at himself in his own Hall of Fame induction. And it was just great.
He did sexy Kurt.
He did sexy Kurt in front of Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels was singing along. Although, I think that's after Shawn Michaels woke up.
After Shawn Michaels woke up, yeah.
Because I swear to God, he was asleep during DDP's speech.
And we'll have that in Tweet a Week next week. Or at some point.
At some point.
Whenever we have Tweet a Week again. Anyway, tag team titles are in line. Gallows and Anderson, Enzo and Cass, Sheamus and Cesaro, better known as Suits and Kilts.
They wore kilts. I approve. Although Sheamus needs to work on his stripping just a little bit. Cesaro needs to help him with that, because Cesaro is, like, way too good at it, and Sheamus is, like, super awkward. Like, he has no idea how to do it, because you can tell he did not practice. He's just like, oh yeah, I got it. It's not hard. And then he's like, wait, I can't get it off. What's going on? It's not working right. It was awkward, but he tried.
He tried. New Day then came out and said, you know, we've just been informed this is now a fatal four-way, but who is going to be? And it's like they start walking to the ring, and it's like, wait, no, it's the Hardy Boys.
Everybody loses their minds, everybody's super excited, Omega was incredibly pissed, because for a second he thought he was going to get points, and then it's like, nope.
I thought I was going to get points.
Nope. We all thought we were going to get points.
But no, the Hardy Boys came in, and they rocked the house, biggest ovation of the night. It was cool. I was really excited for it. To especially hear the old school Hardy's music. That was really, really cool. Then we had the regular ladder match. Props to Hardy Boys for two ladder matches in a row at their ages. Just saying. Big props.
There's no need for that. Y'all really don't have to do that.
Well, to be fair, they didn't do a lot in this one. They sort of just took some bumps and sort of let the others steal the show. There's a move I'm calling Swings and Beats. We have the 10 beats of the Bowery and Cesaro doing his swing. I call it Swings and Beats. It was a very nice touch in this match. Overall, this was a really fun ladder match. There was a twist of fate off the top of the ladder. Swanton threw a ladder onto Gallows and Sheamus. Sheamus sort of just rolled off because Jeff hit him, but the ladder didn't break. But the Gallows ladder did. So the Hardys are your new Raw Tag Team Champions. Just to put this out there, we all got that one wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hardys.
Hardys. They swerved us. Hardys.
Going backwards, I had Charlotte, you had Nia, April had Nia, and Video Game had Bailey. Just to do some housekeeping on that stuff.
Yeah, and none of us had the Hardys.
No one had the Hardys.
And now we get to the moment of the night. Cena and Nikki Bella taking on the Mizanins, Miz and Maryse.
I thought you were gonna say this was the moment everyone went, oh my god, it's Chocolate Thunder.
That too.
Al Roker, Chocolate Thunder.
Okay, but that was pretty clever. I actually laughed. Like, I was like, oh my god, seriously?
I cringed. Anyway, first things first, I liked Maurice's gear.
Yeah, it was a nice gear. It was really, really, really good. Really fitting.
And the Miz was over. Sort of like Gangbusters, he was over. My line was, Miz is so over tonight, it's like he is Damian Sandow playing the Miz. He was that over. Even the yes kicks got yes chance.
Just goes to show Miz is awesome.
Double five, knuckle shuffle, and then the AA, Rack 2.0. Your winners, Cena and Nikki Bella.
No shock here.
Match was just so-so, but that's not the point of this.
No, the match was what it was. We all kind of knew where this was going, which was John Cena, after so many years of making her wait, is going to propose to Nikki Bell. And sure enough, John starts giving her this speech about, remember a year ago when, you know, or you're so strong and you amazed me and you broke your neck and you came back. And do you remember about a year ago when you were going into surgery and I could ask you anything I wanted because you wouldn't remember? And she was like, yeah. And he's like, well, you know, I asked you if you knew that I was going to marry you one day. Because, you know, that's just like the meanest thing ever is, you know, oh yeah, you know I'm going to marry you one day. Yeah, and she's not going to remember that you said that to her. That's kind of cruel, actually. It's a little cruel to me. It's like, dude, no. But anyway, it's supposed to be this uber romantic moment. I just had a problem with that because it's like, that's mean.
Good story, but mean.
Yeah, good story, but mean. You know, especially after she's been like waiting for it for so long. It's like, that's kind of mean that you said it a year ago and you're just telling her. Because she's been asking him what he said to her, and he's been refusing to tell her until now. So anyway, so Cena gets down on one knee and he says the magic words, Nikki, will you marry me? And he whips out the ring, and it's this beautiful Tiffany cut diamond, probably 3 to 5 carats with diamonds on the side and platinum band from Tiffany & Company.
Yeah, he got a really, really, really expensive ring for her.
She could get basic cable on that thing.
I think she could get more than basic cable at this point on that ring, because it was a spectacular ring. Ashley pointed out it was beautiful. Yeah, it was a very beautiful ring. Very, very beautiful ring. He dropped some money. I think Lindsay knew some of the math a little bit, kind of based it out there.
It's probably at least $100,000 on that ring. On the initial proposal, you really couldn't see the ring that well. I had to go back and find the pictures. So it's like I thought it was just a Tiffany cut, or like a, not a Tiffany cut, an emerald cut diamond on a platinum band, and there were no diamonds on the side. So it's like, all right, that puts it around, you know, because we did actually price it out. So it's probably around an $80,000 ring right there, but then you put the diamonds on the sides, and that puts it well over 100K. Easy.
It's 4.5 carats.
It's 4.5, oh yeah, over 100K. Easy.
Matt, I don't think WWE bought this ring. This is a Cena ring.
No, he bought this. WWE did not pay for this. They did not pop for this. Cena paid for it.
E! News said $115,000 ring.
Damn, I'm good.
I mean, if the source is E! News, you know it's true. So, yeah. Thank you, Ashley. Yeah. That's a pricey ring.
She's worth it?
Yeah.
And this was the real legit proposal. I don't think she necessarily knew he was going to do it, or if she did, she wasn't really expecting it to be what it was, because she was shaking, she was excited, it was a genuine reaction from her, and of course Nikki says yes. He puts the ring on her finger, they jump up and they kiss, and they celebrate. But the thing was, is like, they really... really telegraph this, because you knew exactly what was coming, because before the match, Nikki and Cena walk over to both mothers who were there at the show. Like, the only person from Nikki's family that was not present for this was Brie, because Brie is at home pregnant. So she missed it. Well, she didn't miss it. She wasn't there personally. But yeah, it's like, when you saw Cena's mother in the stands, you're like, I know what's coming!
She points out that he was shaking as well. Yes, he was shaking as well. And Matt, I don't think it's a swerve. It's a legit one. This is legit. They're not breaking these two up. This is not Paige and Del Rio.
No, this is legit. This is not storyline. This is legit. This is, they are going to get married.
So yeah, that...
He did this storyline because she wanted to, and they did work the proposal into the storyline, but I'm sure Cena probably told them that he did want to propose, and that's how it ended. That's how it was going to end. Whether she knew that or not, we have no idea. But this is not storyline. This is, they are going to get married.
I still say it's SummerSlam, but that's just me. Now, on SmackDown, Miz and Maryse, they were upset, so they decided to call out John Cena and Nikki Bella. They came out dressed as Nikki and Cena, and Maryse plays a great Nikki. She plays a fabulous Nikki, just pointing that out. But to their surprise, Cena and Nikki did not come out. Oh no, instead, they got Shinsuke Nakamura.
You know when the violinist walks out, you know exactly what's going to happen. The crowd popped huge for him. He starts playing, and then it's like Shinsuke's music starts. They just roar louder, and by the time he walked out, the roof just blew off that place. And Miz is standing there absolutely dumbfounded at the reaction.
We wondered when we did the TakeOver special, it's like, kind of, there was no real big entrance for Shinsuke. It's like, huh, okay. Now we know why.
Because he was coming up to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Shinsuke's entrance debut was amazing, and we'll see where it goes on SmackDown Live.
Very exciting.
But with that, I say we take our last break of the evening.
Sounds like a plan. So when we come back, we are talking about the back half of WrestleMania, including the two title matches, the second women's title match, and, well...
Triple H
and
Seth.
Because nothing else happened.
No, Triple H and Seth Rollins.
Okay, yeah, Triple H and Seth Rollins. Because after that, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened after that. Everything was fine. Totally.
We'll get to all the denial when we come back. You're listening to The Rock right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
To Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's boots to asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, thanks to listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us. And check out FightBooth.com for all your news needs, because they are awesome. So we are back. If you're just joining us, you missed the first half of WrestleMania, and now we're going to jump into the second half of WrestleMania for going Tweet of the Week. That'll be back next week. We're trying to streamline this because this is a hugely long show. Also, if you want our NXT coverage from TakeOver, that is available for your downloading and listening pleasure at wildtalkradio.com. And we are just going to jump.
Hold on. Should note, we're not live next week, just for people who are aware, we're not live next Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. NXT is coming to town. I'm going to NXT.
But we'll have something for everyone, but we're not going to be live next week.
Yeah, but, and I'm not going to get to see Nakamura. That's disappointing.
Maybe not.
Maybe. We'll have to see if he's there.
Maybe. So, yeah, we're not live next week. We wanted to get that out there.
But I get to see Bobby.
So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, now let's get back into the show.
So, we are going to talk about now the grudge match, the unsanctioned match, where we have teacher versus student, father versus son, Triple H versus Seth Rollins.
So, Triple H has a police escort, and he has a motorcycle.
Can we call that a motorcycle? It was really more of a trike.
A trike, okay. Still.
But it was, it was still a hog.
Okay. He has a big ass bike. Can we call it a bike?
Yes, we can call it a bike.
Okay. It was awesome. Him and Steph rode down in style. Just saying. It was tremendous. I love the entrance. What about you?
I really, really, really loved Hunter's entrance. Stephanie looked absolutely boss. It's like they're rolling up. It's like, yes, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. I don't think it tops what Steph and Hunter did last year, but this was still really good.
Really cool. Steph looked great. Yeah. Anyway, that was awesome.
And then there was Seth.
The golden boy with his flaming torch.
And his Gold Ranger-inspired gear. The Kingslayer
with his flaming torch.
Where he lit the stage on fire. And the ramp and the ring. And this was where we first noticed that they were shooting graphics onto the ring. Was because it's like you saw the flame engulf the stage, come down the ramp, and then it's in the ring. And you could see it kind of in the ring. But I couldn't tell if it's like, okay, is that the lights? And then you saw it on Hunter and Stephanie. And it's like, look at the ring. Look at the ring. The ring is on fire right now. It's like they really should have done a overhead shot of the ring just so you could see it. But they didn't do it, which kind of sucked. But Seth's interest was nice. And then they fought.
And then they fought. And they went right at it. And they fought one another. Seth Rollins would do neat moves that would injure his knee. There was like a spot where Rollins dangled and Hunter dropped his knee onto his knee. It was like, okay, that's awesome, but it looks like it hurt. There was a DDT on the table, but the table didn't break. It was like, damn it, I wanted the points. Did not happen. Seth Rollins with the crossbody off the top rope. Top of the ring post onto the outside. We had chairs. We had tables. Frog splash to the ass for a two count. Repeated chair shots to the knee. Hunter was on the top rope. Rollins threw the chair. Superplex into the Falcon Arrow, which is always a nice spot. We had the reverse figure four. And then we're on the outside. And one of the best parts of the match is like, so Rollins is trying to escape the figure four on the outside. And he's just clawing and trying to find something to do. So he's pulling all these weapons out. He's pulling chairs out from underneath the ring. And then he pulls something else out. What was that thing?
That would be Sludgy.
And it just happens to slide right towards Hunter. Conveniently.
It's like, Seth, honey. Seth, you may want to not do that. Okay, never mind.
So they get in the ring, they fight over a Sludgy, Seth pulls it away. We had a pedigree for a two count. We had an awesome Phoenix Splash for a two count. And then we had a spot of, I'm going to hit you with the pedigree. Nope, I will. Nope, I will. Nope, I will. Nope, I will. And repeat for about six or seven times. And Lindsay's here screaming, well, someone just hit the pedigree already?
Yeah, I mean, it's like they kept going back and forth, and there were these, you know, it's like, no, I'm going to hit it. No, I'm going to hit it. No, I'm going to hit it. No, I'm going to reverse you, and then I'm going to try to hit it. It's just this, all these different, them fighting over the pedigree, and I'm sitting here like, would you just hit the move? One of you. I don't care who. Somebody just hit it. Because I think by this point, the show was running a little long, and you're just like, come on, because we still had three more matches to go, plus a musical performance by this point. So it's just like, come on, let's get this over with, please. And I hate saying that because it was a really, really good match, but it's like you're looking at the time because this was about 10:45 when this went on.
This was about 10:30, yeah, and then the next match is where it got a little bit long, and yeah, it was one of those like, okay, just hit the move. But no, they had a really good match. Seth Rollins eventually hit the pedigree to get the win. But big props to Stephanie McMahon. So they're fighting in a ring. Hunter gets looks like he's going to get run into Steph, but he stops. He turns around, gets super kicked by Seth Rollins. He bumps into Stephanie, and she goes crashing through the table.
Yeah, huge props to her for taking this table spot off the apron.
It's her one big spot of the year. Usually happens at WrestleMania last year with the spear. This year it's the table spot.
So bravo to her. Bravo to Hunter for working over the knee like he did. That was a really nice story that he told. Bravo to Seth. I mean, this was all around a really well done match. Hunter and Seth worked very well together. And Stephanie was involved, but she wasn't over involved, which was good.
To do some house cleaning, we had Cena and Nikki, so did the video game. 8-Ball had Miz and Maryse. 8-Ball and video game had Seth Rollins. We had Triple H.
Yeah. So up next was the match I was looking forward to, which was WWE Championship. Bray Wyatt, your champion, the era of Wyatt, all that good, happy stuff, taking on the Snake. The Betrayer, the Homewrecker,
the Viper,
the Arsonist, Randy Orton.
So many lights.
So many lights. It was so pretty. Because, I mean, we're talking about, oh, they're going to do something epic for Bray's entrance. They're going to do something amazing for Bray's entrance. They didn't do a thing for Bray's entrance. Instead, what did they do? They turned off the lights. And they let the 80,000 people that were in that building be Bray's entrance, and you had just a swarm of lights surrounding him. It was so amazing and beautiful all at the same time. And Bray's gear. Bray, honey, you stepped it up. You make a good money now. We can tell because he went all out for his Mania gear. He had a nice new jacket with it was almost like armor, or he had like an arm guard on, and then he had these really slick, cool wear red pants that he wore on SmackDown, and he had a Kraken t-shirt. But yeah, he looked like a champion. He came out first, which is like, uh-oh, that's never good. But yeah, just Bray's entrance was pretty. And then there was Randy's entrance with that goddamn snake.
That creepy, creepy snake that followed him to the ring.
That followed him to the ring. It's like, oh my god, it's moving. Why is it coming down the ramp? No, no, just no to that. Because we were trying to figure out, it's like, wait, has he had that the whole time?
And we aren't sure.
We aren't sure, because it's like he was coming out with Bray, and he didn't use his entrance till a couple weeks ago. So it's like, I don't know if Randy's had that snake the entire time. He probably has.
But it probably doesn't move that way, because the ramp is so short.
Yeah, so probably it normally stays up the top of the ramp, and then they just did the animation where it comes down for Mania, because, again, 85-yard ramp.
So then we get into the match. We had magics with maggots and worms and
cockroaches.
Cockroaches.
Nasty. Yeah, every time Bray would do a back bend, or every time Bray would go for the spider walk, they would, like, shoot graphics down onto the ring, which was really cool. And it was a really neat effect. I think it was a little confusing for the live crowd because they didn't have the commentary.
But at the same time, it should have worked. If you're going to pull out magics, magic should work. And the fact that Bray Wyatt is no longer the WWE champion proves that the magics was not a great idea. So, next time they should do something where the magic's actually work, because the only person who really got scared was the referee. I know Randy sold the first time or so, but it's like, if you're doing the magic needs to work. And that's sort of the disappointment with this matchup is, you had them cool, pull out some cool visual magic tricks, but they did not allow him to get the victory. It's like, if he was able to pull it out then, after he gets hit with the RKO, then shouldn't he have more magics?
Yeah, and I know it's supposed to be the RKO out of nowhere, like in quotations, but it was just, it felt really rushed on the finish, but I agree with that. It's, you did such a fantastic job with this build, where it was such a slow burn. You worked this story for over 6 months. You had Randy join the family. You had Randy destroy the family. You had Randy get close to Bray. He burst out of the compound. He turns, and Bray absorbs all of Sister Abigail's powers. And now Bray is supposedly super strong, because he and Abigail are one. And yeah, you had Randy shove the crucifix thing into her grave to try and get rid of her and try and get rid of Bray's powers. And that could be argued that, okay, if you're doing magics, that could have weakened Bray, but still it's...
He was still able to do the magic, so it didn't weaken him.
Yeah, he was still able to do the magics, you know, in terms of the lantern and everything, and to do the backbend and stuff like that. So it's like, it did really weaken him like you would think it would. And I get why they gave Randy the title. I understand that. But I feel like Bray should have walked out of with the title.
Bray should have definitely walked out with the title because he beat John Cena and AJ Styles. So one more win over Randy Orton would have solidified him as a top guy, as the main eventer, as a true champion. And the loss sort of dampens the title reign a little bit on the Bray Wyatt side. So it's like, maybe. I don't know. I get why they put on Randy. With John Cena going, Randy Orton's the face of the brand. He's the biggest star they have on the brand. I get it. And his match with Brock and at SummerSlam, where he took one for a team, it's like, okay, we're going to repay you. Got it. That said, they could have gave this match 10 more minutes, and this matchup would have been, I would have been better off with Bray Wyatt losing if it was a really back and forth, a lot of near falls, really intense match, and it just didn't get what it deserved time-wise from the show. And that's sort of the downfalls of a long WrestleMania. Some match gets shortened, and this one so happened to feel the wrath of time going long. I think it got 5-10 minutes cut from it as time went on, and it's like, you could have told a better story, you could have done a little bit more, and you just didn't get what you wanted out of this title match. This was not the two guys really hyped this match up big time in interviews leading up to it, and it's like, we were expecting something big time, and it felt like they got...
It just felt really flat.
They got shortchanged.
I mean, the part of this was they could never hit fourth gear. They did not have the time to hit fourth gear, because I think the way that Bray and Randy had planned this was they had planned it for a certain set amount of time, because that's what they had been told, and then probably got told before they were coming out, oh, hey, about 5 minutes have been cut off, so you can figure it out.
That's why, that's why the magic sort of came so close together. It's like, you could have spread them out through the match, and it would have been a little bit better.
Or cut the numbers of times that he was going to do the magics. I mean, it's just, that's how it works. But, I mean, it's, you did this wonderful job of building Bray as really the top heel, or the top face, depending which way you look at it, because technically in this program, Randy was the heel. But you did this great job of building up Bray, and you just kind of sort of cut his legs out from under him by having him lose to Randy at Mania. I mean, it's like, if you're going to continue the story to payback...
Well, or whatever the SmackDown pay-per-view is.
Or whatever the SmackDown pay-per-view is, whatever the next SmackDown pay-per-view is, there were other ways to do that, I feel like, because we'll just go ahead and talk about SmackDown.
Hold on. Before we get there, there's one thing I want to mention from this match. We had some Husky flashbacks.
Oh yeah, Randy went for the punt.
We had some war flashbacks. The Husky thing.
It's like, Randy, no, don't you put him in the head. Last time you did it, this happened.
I like that they tied that in there. That was a nice callback to their history.
Yeah.
Even though it's not the Bray Wyatt history, everyone kind of picked up on it.
It's a very, very subtle callback to the history between the two, but...
Now that Randy Orton is the champion, Bray Wyatt's looking for revenge, and he's looking for the title on SmackDown.
Well, and this is what I was going to say. It's like, if you want to get them to whatever the next SmackDown pay-per-view is, you could have had Eric Rowan come back at Mania, because he did come back. Tuesday. So the Wild Rowan has returned to Bray Wyatt's side, and it was really kind of surprising that Eric did not come back at Mania. He did not play a factor in this match in one way or another.
No, he didn't, but he did play a factor on SmackDown. It was after Bray Wyatt announced that for his rematch, he wants a House of Horrors match, whatever that is.
And I mean, it could be that maybe Bray beats Randy for a title in his own match. I would hope so.
I would hope so, but I don't think so, but I would hope so. And then what was interesting, so Bray's cutting the promo, and then Randy says, come out, and then we hear the sound there, and Bray comes out right behind. He goes, I'm here. And he's right behind him, so they brawl, and Randy gets better of him, and then out of nowhere, Randy Orton gets pulled out of the ring by Eric Rowan, who's in this gas sheet mask, whatever you want to call it. And they start beating down Randy Orton. And then you hear Luke's music playing, and Luke is running out to save Randy Orton. And it's like,
which is awkward as all hell.
It's like, Luke, no, you're wrong side. You're helping the wrong side. You're a team player, right? You're supposed to be on the team. You're Wyatt for life, right? No? What?
Well, it's not even that. It's like, dude, this is the guy that broke up your family and you're coming out to help him? Like, that was beyond awkward. It's like, I get Luke is pissed at Bray, but it's like, it's Randy that did it. Like, it's Randy that manipulated the whole thing and Luke's gonna come out and save him? What kind of weird-ass sense does that make? None. Makes no sense whatsoever, because then, of course, but what it leads to is the speculation of, wait, are Luke and Randy really going to team together? Is that a thing, or is this a setup?
They, in fact, did team up in the main event of SmackDown, and they ended up beating Bray and Eric. Randy was setting up Bray for a RKO. Bray does his magic. He escapes the ring. And then Luke with a super kick to Eric Rowan, and then an RKO. Eric Rowan takes the fall. Bray Wyatt sort of think, all right, you got me. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. That sort of thing. It was fine. Interested to see where it goes, especially with the shakeup coming. I think Luke may be leaving SmackDown.
Yeah, I think Luke's going to Raw.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll have to see what happens there. But that's sort of the return of the Ginger, the Vintner, Eric Rowan.
Yay! Eric's back, very excited. Moving on from this, we have the match that nobody wanted, but everybody got. Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship.
First, we all picked Wyatt and we all lost. Yeah. So, Goldberg and Brock, it happened. Boos for Goldberg. You hear all these Goldberg chants, and then when the Goldberg chants stop, you hear boos. It's like, yep, those are the real chants. I mean, for 4 minutes and 45 seconds, this was a great match.
This was the perfect length.
It was.
It really was the perfect length.
I mean, they did not waste any time. It was 4 minutes, 45 seconds. Suplexes everywhere. Spear through the barricade. Jackhammer, F5 attempts, no spear, jackhammer for a 2 count, spear, leapfrog, suplexes, and the dude in the front row was the awesome person that he is. He had signs counting the suplexes, so we knew a count, it was 10. And then he hit the F5 for the win. Your new Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar.
No shock to anybody.
No shock to anyone in this one, except, well, we all picked it correctly, so there you go. I was gonna say,
Godspeed, Goldberg. Thanks for coming.
He does some emotional speech on the Raw Talk thing on the network, so go watch it. It was not part of the show, as he tried to refer to it as. All right, now let's get into the main event of WrestleMania 33. It is the six-pack challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Carmella, and Natalya. All girls had to call for entrance. We saw Naomi's big, spectacular dancing entrance. It lit up the stage. It was kind of awesome.
Although we're all like, girl, you're really going to dance 85 yards to the ring? Good lord.
And
you're going to be worn out by the time you get down there.
Like, a bunch of the girls didn't get the full entrance because it's running late and it's 85 yards. So they all sort of, you got 45 yards and someone else's music hit. But Naomi did the whole entire entrance. Alexa looked really good. Mickey had something.
Mickey was paying tribute to her Native American heritage.
And Becky had Becky braids.
Becky was paying tribute to her Irish heritage. And I really liked Becky's look.
Carmella was paying homage to her Jersey heritage.
Yep.
And Natty, I have no idea.
Natty was Natty.
And Alexa was Alexa with her Joker stuff.
No, she was the Riddler this time.
Riddler, that's what it was. Riddler, that's right.
But she looked good.
So this match was Becky tossed people around. Ellsworth did no chin music, it missed. Beck exploded to him. Double sharpshooter, never, ever, ever, ever do it again.
Yeah.
But Naomi hit her big submission. Alexa taps, your winner and new women's champion, Naomi.
getting the win in her hometown, as she deserves. Naomi is now the SmackDown Women's Championship. Or championship. SmackDown Women's Champion. And couldn't happen to a more awesome person. Super happy for her.
Go ahead.
It makes me a little sad that this match was as short as it was. I think if it had stayed on the pre-show, it probably would have gotten more time.
I mean, yeah, especially for the main event show, you figured go 50 minutes.
Because it's like the problem was it got wedged in a really awkward spot.
I thought this was the main event.
It is the main event.
Okay.
But it's got to go at the end of the show after the Universal title.
And then all the big fireworks afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, and all the big fireworks afterwards. So we closed WrestleMania with Naomi holding the Women's Championship high.
Alexa was picked by the 8-ball in the video game. I went with Mickey. You actually went with Naomi on this one. So yeah, that's WrestleMania in a nutshell. It was a great show. It was spectacular. All things considered, could have been a little shorter, but I enjoy the length of the show. And yeah, I enjoyed the show from top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the offering, I thought it was a really great WrestleMania. Awesome WrestleMania. We're not talking about it.
Sent the crowd home happy.
The other thing didn't happen. That other thing totally didn't happen at all. I'm completely in denial about it.
Okay. Now, can we talk about it?
Yes, we can talk about it.
The big return, the big moment of the night, Jim Ross back to call the main event.
Before we get there, okay, so there was speculation about this match, because it's like, a couple weeks ago, it got out that this match was going to close the show, and it's like...
Came out a couple days before the show, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, the rumors were swirling, it's like, is this Taker's actual last Mania? Because every year, for the past 5 years, it's been, is this Taker's last Mania? And he always comes back for one more, and last year we thought he was done, and he came back this year for one more, because he's feeling good, and obviously, apparently not. And so the rumor started swirling that, well, WWE had kind of made the decision and Taker had made the decision that he was going to retire. And so the match got moved to the main event and it's like, okay, all right. But there was no confirmation on it, obviously, until the show came. And then like a day or two before Mania, it got announced or it got out that JR had re-signed with WWE. He is now under a 2-year deal. And he was going to be calling a match at Mania. And everybody's like, oh, it's going to be a title match.
Originally, it was speculated it was going to be Brock versus Goldberg because JBL said him and Cole were doing the main event.
Yeah. But it's like, if Jim Ross is coming back to call one match on this card, it's this match right here. Because Taker probably asked him to. Taker probably asked for JR to call this match because... It was Taker's last match at WrestleMania, and while there's varying rumors on the opponent that Taker wanted, we're not going to get into that, Taker was going to go out pretty much the way that he wanted to go out.
Now, let's talk about the entrance. Roman Reigns comes down, and he's booed out of the building. No surprise.
The boos were described as nuclear.
So then... Undertaker's music hits, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and where's the Undertaker? I don't see an Undertaker. And then halfway down the ramp, you see him rise onto the stage.
Ever since the pictures of the set came out, we're like, oh my god, look at that ramp. It's going to take Taker forever to get down that ramp. I like to think that Taker got there, and he took one look at that thing, and he went, nope, I'm not walking down that. I'm not doing that. You either make me float, or you figure something else out, because I'm not going that far. So, they figured it out. They brought Taker up about halfway down the ramp.
And it still took 5 minutes and 22 seconds.
So, it would have taken him probably close to 11 minutes to get to the ring. 11 minutes they did not have. So, they brought Taker up through the ramp, which was a nice entrance. And it played a factor later.
Yeah.
So
Taker comes in. They tosses Roman out. Says, this is my yard. Toss him out again. This is my yard. And then they have this match. And... I mean, early on, it's fine. They're fighting, and it's all this fun stuff. There was a chokeslam onto the table. There was a spear through the table. Taker sat up. Roman then screamed, this is his yard. Whose yard is it now? And then Taker sits up, and we're back in the ring. Roman does his 10 punches, and Roman screams, this is my yard. And then Taker hits the last ride, kind of, for a 2 count. The move chair gets involved. Roman goes for the chair. Taker kicks him in the face. We had some Superman punches. Then chokeslam onto the chair. Then we had a tombstone. And then we had the really bad spot of Roman trying to reverse the tombstone and Taker couldn't get himself up when Roman couldn't help him, and it was really awkward.
Yeah, it was. So they went for the Superman punch instead.
Laid him out with a Superman punch, and I mean the spear, which got turned into a Hell's Gate, and we got here, and we're me and Lindsay are sitting here talking, and we're watching this, and we're just commenting, and we're feeling the dread start to creep up in the room. We feel it in our bones, waiting for the moment to happen. And Taker's crawling for the chair, and Rain steps on the chair, and he starts beating down Taker with the chair, and we're just sitting here, it's like, come on, Taker, get up, please get up. And he eats a spear, it's a two count. Eats another spear, it's a two count. It's like, we're sitting here, like, we're dreading what's about to happen. Lindsay can barely watch, and it was, as an Undertaker fan, this was very tough to watch. And you see Roman trying to play it up, and he's sort of looking and not wanting to do it. And Taker, at one point, screams, you don't have the balls to kill me. And then Roman runs off one side and runs back the other way, hits the final spear, and Roman Reigns pins The Undertaker 1-2-3. I will say this, when Taker's climbing up the leg of Roman Reigns, it gives us flashbacks to when Shawn would climb up Taker's leg, and then, or Hunter would climb up his leg, and it just sort of, it's very fitting, it's how that ends, and it was a tough ending, it was a tough match, Taker looked really old. Taker looked rough the longer the match went. There were moments where he laid on the mat and he just sort of laid there, and you've kind of felt sorry for him. And then he felt like you saw it in his face, and he was like, I don't want to get up anymore. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. And you saw it in his face, and it's like, it was tough, is the best way to put it.
Well, it was emotional for him because this is his last match. He's retiring, and I think he wanted to have that one last really great match. I think Roman wanted to give him that really one last great match, and bless them, they tried. They really, really, really tried. Like, Roman was doing everything he could that he knew of to get Taker to give Taker what he wanted. The problem was Taker's body just at this point can't do it. It's like the soul is beyond willing, but the flesh is not. And Taker was, you could see all the flaws with Taker, because it's like, one thing about this match was they slapped a no DQ stipulation on this at the very last minute. They announced it at the show.
As they were coming to the ring, we're like, wait, what?
Yeah, they're like, this is a no DQ, false count anywhere match. What?
Just no holds barred, not false count anywhere.
I swear to God, they said false count anywhere.
No.
But it's like, wait, what? When did that get added? Did I miss something? So it's basically what we think happened is they were practicing and they realized they probably needed some smoke and mirrors for this. So they threw in some smoke and mirrors to help. But the match itself was very hard to watch. It was very, and I don't want to say this because it sounds so mean, but it was very sad.
Because it was. It was very sad to watch.
It was sad on a lot of levels, but it's like you look at him and you think of all the great things that he's done in his career and how absolutely magnificent he was in his career. And you look at this match and you're just like, you see how far he's declined, really, even since the end of the era match. You see how quickly and how far he's declined. And it's like, yeah, it's time. It was really time about 2 years ago. Maybe even longer than that, but it's time.
When the thing happened at WrestleMania 30, that sort of what should have been the time.
Should have been it.
You kind of saw it was it. He came into that matchup. He wasn't in the best shape. He got through the Punk match with Punk, and he looked okay. He looked really good with Hunter. He looked okay with Punk, but he got in there with Brock, and it just sort of wasn't the best Taker we've ever seen, because he was hurting. And he came back for Bray, and he was all right with Bray. He was hurting, but he was okay. He moved around a little bit. Then he came back and did some matches with Bray later on in the family. And then he did the thing with Shane in the Hell in a Cell, and he looked alright. And then he came back this year, and he didn't look like Undertaker. He didn't look like Undertaker in the Rumble. I mean, he spoke like Taker, because God, he spoke like Taker. But he didn't walk like Taker. He didn't move like Taker.
And he hasn't moved like Taker in years.
But you just saw how badly he was hurting.
Oh yeah, you could see how much pain he's in. It's like he went to chokeslam Roman. I think it was it the Raw before Mania, or was it 2 weeks ago that he got the jump on Roman, and he goes to chokeslam him and he throws him down, and you just see him just absolutely grimace in pain from doing it, because it's like he just can't get his arm that high anymore.
It's when he did it to Braun.
That's right, he did it to Braun.
And then you saw it on his face, and it's like, oh, right. And it's like, okay, you saw the pain there, and then he took the spear and whatever. But it's like, you saw the pain. You just knew. You knew it was coming to an end, but you didn't want to watch it end.
It was hard to watch it, especially when they went for all the false finishes. It's like, for the love of God, just pin him. Just lay down. Just stop. Just end this, please. This is really hurting. You know, it's like, this went till, I think, about 11:30. 11:45, it just went on and on and on and on and on, and I understand it's Taker's last match, and he should get what he wants. He absolutely should get what he wants. Not saying he shouldn't, but as a fan, you're just sitting here and you're watching it, and it's like, end it. Please end it. Because it hurts. It really seriously hurt to watch, because you're seeing him struggle to get through it. There was nothing that was going to hide that he was just having serious problems at certain points getting through this match. And it's like, just pin him. Just, we all know how this is going to end. We all know where this is going. We can see it. It's really plain. This is the main event over the title match. JR is here. We know. Okay? We know. This is it. This is the last match. We know what's coming. And we know he's going to lose, because like the classy guy that he is, he's going to go out on his back and he's going to give the younger guy the bump, you know, which that's who Taker is. He's all about giving back, and bravo to him to giving back in that fashion. He could have had anybody, but he had Roman. And there's speculation that he picked Roman. There's speculation he was given Roman. I'm not going to speak to either, but either way, Roman got the bump from it, and good for Roman. But this match was very, very hard to watch at the end. It was fine in the beginning, because you were kind of hopeful that it's okay, Taker's going to win, and then it became really blatantly obvious very quickly. Taker was not going to win, so it's like, all right, let's just get this over with. But I think my bigger issue is with the whole feud.
So, if you remember correctly, I made a mention on the Raw post-show leading up to this match, and I think I mentioned it last week on the show, I was very disappointed in the final promo Undertaker cut for this simple reason. This was it. And you wanted that one last epic Taker promo. Mm-hmm. And you didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And it played a part in this feud where it's like, you didn't get a real Taker final feud.
No, it's like, they knew for a while that this was going to be it. They knew at least during the feud with Roman that Taker was going to be it. Or this was it for Taker. That this was going to be his last Mania. That they'd seen him and they made the decision, okay, that's it. He's done. He's out. And the decision could have been made months before.
It probably was.
But it was, you know, it's like, probably what the deal was to get Taker to come back one more time was, you do this feud with Roman and you're out. You're done. You give us one more and you're done.
You come in, you do the Rumble, and then you do Roman and you're done.
And that was probably the deal. And so Taker was like, okay, fine. Let's do it. So Taker does it, and it's like, you wanted that, and it's like, I remember being really hopeful when Taker showed up for Rumble, because it's like, oh, this is going to be awesome, because we all knew it was going to be Roman Taker, so like, you can have Taker haunt Roman from Rumble to Mania, and you can really do this epic feud between the two, where you have Taker do all the mind games and the magic and, you know, the scary promos and showing up out of nowhere and all the stuff that Taker does. Like, all those tricks and games and everything that Taker is so known for playing, you could have had him do with Roman, and we never got it. They brought Taker back in, I think, about a month before Mania. We saw him very sparingly throughout the feud, and it was just like, you know, he goes to cut that last promo. You know by this point it's the final promo, and it just... the whole thing just felt kind of flat. And that's not on Taker, and that's not on Roman.
It's on the running committee. The feud was Braun and Roman. That's what the feud was. It was Braun and Roman, and it's going to continue to be Braun and Roman. And Taker was just a little side part in the feud.
Like, which he shouldn't have been.
No, in the final feud. Okay, and Roman said he was going to end it with The Undertaker. Well, then guess what? You know what you should have done, as painful as it would have been? You hammered that home for weeks. You should have, you know, the night after the Royal Rumble, he should have said, or a couple weeks after Rumble, whatever it was, he should, you know, after eliminating the Dead Man at WrestleMania, I'm going to end it. And then you just hammer the point home every single week, and you make it a point. You make that the focal point of the show. It's like, I'm going to do it. I am going to end it. And he would become the biggest villain, and that's half the problem is, they don't want Roman to be the villain. Damn it, he's the villain. Whether you like it or not, he is the villain. Just like Brock got heat for the streak, Roman's going to get heat for ending The Undertaker's career. He is the damn villain. The character is, not the person, the character. Anyway,
yeah.
Continue.
He is the young lion that's coming in to oust the old lion out of his spot. That's what this is. And it's like, there was no heel in this, there was no face in this, but technically, Roman was the villain, because Roman was coming after Taker.
He was taking his spot.
Where he's like, this is my yard now, I'm taking it from you, and Taker's like, no, fight me. And they're like, fine. So it was a turf war between Roman and Taker, and it's just, it's like there was no clear defined heel, there was no clear defined face. You had Roman playing the part of the heel while being a face, which was bizarre, and you did not get a lot of Taker, and I understand that at this point he doesn't want to travel.
But here's the thing, but he did travel. He traveled for 3 of those weeks. He traveled 3 of the 4 weeks, and guess what? In those weeks, he should have made it a point to prove that it is his yard.
Well, it's The Undertaker, right? So you don't necessarily have to have him there to make him his presence felt. You can do the gongs with the lighting effects. You can have the ring move. I mean, good God, they had it rain blood one time and he wasn't there. So it's stuff like that that The Undertaker is known for, the old school mind games. You know, you can shoot promos with him when he is there where it's a couple weeks out. And you just make sure Roman's wearing the right gear that night. Or you make sure Roman wears one particular set of gear the entire feud. But there's ways to get around it where it's like, well, if he doesn't want to travel, he doesn't have to. You can shoot a lot of stuff backstage. But the feud just really, really felt like a letdown. And I don't know if it's they made the decision halfway through the feud. And by that point, it was, well, we're already damned, so we're not going to do anything to fix it. Or if they knew well before Rumble.
They knew well before Rumble, but it was like they needed to make this. The ending of The Undertaker should have been the last... The build-up to his final match should have been something special. And because going into it, they did not make it a point this could be the end for The Undertaker. They did not, as painful it was, would have been for Lindsay and everyone else. Like, hammering that point home, you would have done bigger business.
Yeah, they really didn't hit it till, like, the last week.
And they really didn't even hit it then. It's like, you had to hammer that home. This could be the last time you see The Undertaker in a ring. Will Roman Reigns end The Undertaker? Find out this Sunday at WrestleMania. They did not hammer the point home. And when you see the end result of it being the end, it should have been hammered home. And the feud was missing something. And it just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they could have booked this way better than they did. And to me personally, I'm sure there were people that liked it, but to me personally, this fell really, really, really flat. Like, I'm happy that Roman got the rub. I'm happy Roman is going to benefit from the rub. Because, I mean, he went out there on Monday Night Raw, first thing, stood out there for 15 minutes and got booed out of the building. They chanted everything they could at him, and he just stood there and took it. And if they're smart, they turn him heel.
And he owns it. Because he's going to get heat wherever they are, whether it's in the UK, anywhere they go. Because I think they're going, I don't know if they're going in a couple weeks, I think they're going maybe in the beginning of May, but whenever they get to the UK, he's going to hear it. He's going to hear it. That said, tying this all back into Mania, after the 1-2-3, that was an epic send-off.
Yeah, he lit the stage on fire.
He legit did, his exit did legit lit the stage on fire.
Because it's Taker, right?
Because if you remember back, there was like a 2008-2009, the No Way Out pay-per-view. He got lit on fire.
He got lit on fire, but there was another year that his entrance lit the stage on fire.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
So it's like, but it's as Taker walks over, he kisses his wife and his daughter, he walks halfway up the ramp to where the trash door is, the trap door, and he descends back down through the trap door, disappearing forever. The fire shoots off in the stage, the smoke is going, the lights are up, his purple lights are up, it's this epic send-off. Taker vanishes into the mist, and the stage lights on fire. And then what do they do?
They turned
and
the light.
It goes dark.
It went dark. They hit the final gongs, and it should mention they left the hat and the coat in the ring.
They were breaking down the set, I don't know who got it. Who went out there and got it?
Someone scooped it up. But he put the hat and coat back on and took off his gloves, left it all in the ring, and then he did everything Lindsay just mentioned. You knew once he kissed Michelle, it was over. It was like, yep, it's over.
Because is this the last ride? He lost. Of course it's the last ride. He lost.
He lost. And it's like, yep. It was That was it. That was it. That was the end of The Undertaker. And, yeah, it was tough to watch. I watched it back again a second time because I wanted to hear JR's commentary fully. Because we were talking, so you can't really hear the commentary. And JR did a fantastic job calling the match. Yeah. Overall, it was everything you would want for a send-off. We'll see him again in about 11 and a half months.
For the Hall of Fame. I was a little disappointed he didn't come out on Raw or SmackDown and say goodbye. But we may get that when he goes into the Hall of Fame. He may never do it. Who knows? But it was a little disappointing that we did not get to see him the night after or two nights after, that he's just gone. And it really hurts to know that the next time we see him will be at the Hall of Fame, and that will probably be the last time we ever see The Undertaker in this context. Like, he'll pop up here and there, but I mean, he's going to go home. He's going to be Mark Calloway. He's going to be a dad. He's going to be a husband. He's going to be everything he's earned to be. Like, he deserves his time now. And that's awesome, but it's really sad that he's gone. And you know he's never coming back. You know it. It's permanent. It's like Sean. He's getting hip surgery, for the love of God. He's done. So it's like, oh, this hurts. But yeah. This is no offense to Taker. This is no offense to Roman. This is me personally. This is like the streak. This is a one and done. Never watching that again. Ever. Never, ever, ever watching that again. Watched it once. I'm good.
We went 5-8. The 8-ball went 6-7. The video game went 9-4.
How do I get beaten by a video game?
At an 8-ball.
That's okay. I beat him on TakeOver, so that's fine.
We went with our heart. Our heart. We went with Hunter. We went with Bray. We went with Taker. So yeah, that's a thing.
That's WrestleMania.
By the way, points.
Yes,
points,
do you want to brag real quick because you won?
I got all the points.
He's very happy. Congratulations.
Team Rock for the win. New round of fantasy is coming at some point. We're working out details.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Nope.
Anyway, that'll do it for another edition of the Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now this is where we got some business to handle.
Well, go ahead, handle your business.
Hate you. Because my mind went somewhere. Starting Monday at youtube.com/RackRadioShow, we got some new content coming. Okay? We're going to have History of Raw, History of SmackDown on Mondays and Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. We got some tournaments going on. Wednesdays, there's WTR Sim Archives, so it's all at youtube.com/RackRadioShow. It's great content. Going to be a lot of fun. That said, Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Well, say what, we'll have the greater than great debate hockey players. We have a maybe from Tim on being a part of the show. We're going to be starting a new game on the show every week because I have a book. The WWE Book of Top Tens. We're going to review it on this show at some point before May 11th when the book comes out. But to lead up to it, we're going to play a couple games out of the book, go through a couple top tens lists every week on CB Radio, so that's something to look forward to. So that's midnight-ish, CB Radio, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com, #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega. They'll talk all things in the week in wrestling, including the Superstar Shakeup coming on Monday night. It's Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. WTR Sunday night on the Facebook and the Twitter. Monday night, we'll talk all about the first part of the Superstar Shakeup on the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night.
Is it true? It's going to be two nights.
Yes, it will be. It's going to be on Raw and SmackDown.
No, Jesus.
So maybe that will be what you'll hear on the Rack Extra. Maybe.
Possibly.
Possibly. Maybe we'll do something with that. Tuesday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's WTR Sims, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 6, Episode 11, available now at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Episode 12 will be available on Thursday, as normal, to download that afternoon. So you'll have us in some form on Thursday. Probably do a Rack Extra regarding SmackDown, since the Superstar Shakeup, we'll probably talk all about that on there. We'll get that done probably on Tuesday as well, so you'll have content in some form. We're on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/RackRadioShow, RackRadioShow.com, Google, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, we're there, search Rack Radio Show. I'm at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. There will be a, there's currently a book review about from NXT, the NXT book on the website. I have another book to read that's going to have a book review at some point. There may be a column about the Superstar Shakeup, but check out WildTalkRadio.com for exclusive content coming there very soon. I have a lot of things, but now you can go.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, FightBooth.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening, because I can speak the English so good tonight.
I have so many plugs. You have one little plug. Come on. Get it. Come on.
You do it like 6 times a week. I do it once. Shut up. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us for the Marathon Show. We will not be here next week because, well, Lindsay is going to NXT. But stay tuned for a Rack Extra because we're probably going to be doing something with the Superstar Shakeup. We'll have to see. Total Divas Season 6 Episode 12 will be out and available for your listening consumption as normal next week because I will be able to see the show. So we will see you live in 2 weeks with the Rack. Till then, he's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and this is WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye. Or 2 weeks. Bye.
10.
WildTalkRadio.com.